Here at the Non-Judging Breakfast Pod, we like to keep things light. With that said, sometimes Gossip Girl, and therefore our review, will touch on serious topics. The following episode depicts disordered eating. If you or someone you know is struggling with an eating disorder, please seek help from the National Association of Anorexia Nervosa and Associated Disorders at anad.org. Or get help through the National Eating Disorders Association at nationaleatingdisorders.org/get help.
Hey, Upper East Siders and all you scandal-loving listeners out there. You just tuned into the Non-Judging Breakfast Pod, where the coffee is strong, the waffles are fresh, and the gossip is hotter than ever. My name is Leaf, and I'm your seasoned Gossip Girl veteran.
And I'm Steve, the newbie, the greenhorn, the... I don't know, Leaf, what do you call the new kid on the block in Gossip Girl terms?
Well, I don't think you're quite ready to be Harold's sous chef yet, but I think they label you as a project, you know. A girl has the potential to be a Blairite.
Well, then dress me up in an Eleanor Waldorf original and let's get started.
Sounds good.
Here's the deal, folks. Leaf has been a fan of Gossip Girl since it first aired, and I'm diving in head first. And together, we're your dynamic duo, dissecting all the drama, romance, and sometimes questionable fashion choices of this iconic 2007 series.
That's right. Each week, we're going to break down all the secret hookups, petty schemes, and couture catastrophes. And trust me, there are plenty of them.
And since we're all about inclusivity here at the Non-Judging Breakfast Pod, there's always room for you at the Non-Judging Breakfast table. So go ahead and grab your mimosa, a cup of coffee, or some of Nate and Chuck's special medicine if that's how you start your day. And let's get started.
Today we're going to be breaking down Season 1, Episode 9, Blair Waldorf Must Pie. Did you get the reference?
I'm assuming it's a John Tucker Must Die reference.
Correct. The 2006 movie with Penn Badgley in a small but significant role.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that. Yeah, he isn't.
He's the good brother that, you know, she ends up falling in love with at the end.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But yeah, not a huge role, but yeah, it's significant.
Yeah.
The Television Without Pity episode description reads, Dan stupidly invites Serena and the Vanderwoodsons to Thanksgiving at the loft, creating madness all around. Blair's gay dad stands her up for the holiday, causing her to go insane. Nate's awkward cokehead dinner with his horrible parents also proves unfortunate. I don't know how you can say this show is unrealistic. Isn't Thanksgiving hell for everybody? Rich kids, they're just like us.
Wow.
Original air date was November 28th, 2007, so right around Thanksgiving time.
Yeah. Yeah. Of 07.
Yes. The episode was directed by Mark Pisnarski's back. He was directed the pilot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then a story by KJ Steinberg, who most recently wrote the episode number 7, Victor Victrola. So back after a couple episodes.
Yeah. And a good episode too. I really enjoyed Victor Victrola.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, this is two episodes here.
Yep. So yeah, that's definitely a big episode in Gossip Girl lore. And as you will see in the future, seventh episode of the season is always Chuck and Blair centric.
Oh, is that that's like a
yeah. There's definitely certain episodes that throughout the seasons, like the numbers definitely they do parallels.
That's interesting
because you know the writers are nerds. They're not the best writers, but they are. They do know the craft of writing.
Yeah, not the best writers, but great nerds.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that
they probably make good teachers.
Right. Yeah, that speaks to my heart. Like I'm.
We go into the episode, the Gossip Girl monologue. As per Gossip Girl's Thanksgiving tradition, I'm trading my laptop for stovetop, and for the next 16 hours, the only thing I'm dishing is seconds. When this cat's away, the mice will play. Have fun, little rodents.
Yeah, and so we don't hear from Gossip Girl the rest of this episode, do we?
No, and you've been saying Chuck is Gossip Girl. He's not in this
episode. Like there's a tradition of taking off, and there's only one person not in this episode.
Kind of weird. After the opening monologue, overviews of Central Park and Fall, the episode opens with a flashback to Thanksgiving a year ago. Serena is clearly intoxicated, walking the streets of Manhattan with Blair.
Yeah, and, you know, for the entire 8 episodes, we've had these hints of, like, she was such a party girl and that how she used to be. And now for the first time, you're actually seeing her, you know, drunk in the afternoon, like early afternoon, maybe even morning of Thanksgiving.
Yes, we've been hearing about Party Girl Serena, and now we're finally getting to see it.
Yeah, and not only does she get drunk, but she can seem to stay drunk for a very long time. Yeah,
without just passing out,
or drinking more.
I think she, like, we see her like sneaking.
Yeah, we see her try to like sneak some drinks here.
So
and
we
there.
Figure so she's we... probably she probably is drinking more.
Yeah, but she can put them back.
Yeah, yeah.
That was some day long.
And so we also in the same scene we see Dan picking up pies in the city and spots Serena about to walk in front of a car. Good guy Dan sacrifices the pies to save the girl. Blair misinterprets this quickly and ushers Serena into a taxi.
Yeah. I love that she calls him Dave. Bye, Dave.
Bye, Dave.
and yeah, I love that she's a mess and that you can see that he's in love with her and just, hey, here's my moment to talk to her. And it's like, no, it's not.
Yeah. He mentions that he's met her before and she still has no idea.
No clue.
Yeah. And then as we see in the next scene when they talk in the present, she still does not remember that at all.
Yeah, when he says, yeah, I bet. And she's like, what was that? Nothing.
So, yes, back in the present, Dan is talking on the phone to Serena, and they plan to call between every course of the respective dinners.
Yes. Adorable.
Yeah. It's definitely a high school thing to do.
Yeah, and you know, cute to like catch up and talk about their day and their food. Yeah, it's adorable.
Yeah. All right. At the loft, the Humphreys are preparing for Thanksgiving. Dan is still acting cold towards Allison, but backs down after Rufus threatens him with a knife.
I mean, Dan's struggling to forgive his mom still, which is acceptable. You know, and it makes sense. I don't think that Rufus was really threatening Dan. I mean, I feel like that was...
Have you ever held a knife to your kids like that?
Well, no.
I'm slightly jaded because I have seen Matthew Kittle kill people before in Band of Brothers.
That's okay, there's that too.
He has that psycho stare to him.
That's fair.
And then Serena and Blair are prepping for a Waldorf Thanksgiving. Serena reveals she knows about Chuck and Blair. They argue about it, and Serena and her family are uninvited from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, two things that I wanted to point out about this. And the first is that, so we've had fairly smooth sailing between Serena and Blair for six episodes. Well, for five episodes now. There was a little rough during the modeling shoot and all of that, but it got smoothed out pretty quickly. So we've seen just them be best friends. But man, those claws come out fast for Blair. That, like, just the mention of just the least bit, you know, off-putting by Serena, and it was just like, boom, digging right at her, like instantaneous.
Yeah, a couple things. So also interesting that Serena just thought they hooked up, but then Blair instantly reveals that, oh no, she slept with him twice.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing that took Serena by surprise, and that's where she was like, wait, what? And as soon as she did, Blair just narrowed in and just like it was like she just has like a mental Rolodex of the meanest fucking thing she can say to somebody at any given point. And she's just like, here's Serena's, boom.
Yes. And then also at the end of the scene, I like Eleanor's sort of like non-reaction. Like she's like, oh yeah, she's used to them just fighting like this.
Yep, this happens.
Yeah.
And Lily too in the next scene, which we'll get to. The other thing I did want to bring up is Blair mentions, oh, Nate gets a free pass about hooking up with Serena that we talked about way back in episode one or two.
Yeah.
That Blair seemed to be giving Nate that pass.
Yeah.
and now here she is being like, you know, hey, Nate got that free pass, but, you know, but shouldn't have, it seemed. But it was brought up again that Blair recognizes that, like, that both Serena and Nate did her harm.
Was it about that, or was it more than just the free pass about having sex?
I think that's what it was. But that was what I think it was. But I think it was tied, because it was with Serena, that was kind of tied in together. That was my take on it. Yeah.
All right. Serena, Eric, and Lily are walking through Chinatown trying to figure out last-minute Thanksgiving plans.
Lily's trying to be a mom. You know? She's
doing her best.
Yeah, she's... But, like, I feel like this is the first effort we've really seen. Yeah, and it's the first we've seen her with Eric, too. So I feel like she is, at this point, trying to be a mom to her kids and trying to be a family more than she had been previously.
Yeah. But Dan calls Serena again when he finds out about their situation. He, of course, invites her family for dinner.
I mean, fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I loved Three's Company. And like, this just had that Three's Company misunderstanding written all over it. But like, I say that like fondly for Three's Company. Like I love this kind of setup because it is plausible in everything that they've done, in all of the secrets the parents have kept from their kids. Yeah. It has led to this.
Exactly.
And it is on them for doing it.
Yeah.
And so I just absolutely loved this whole setup.
Because why would Serena tell her mom that, you know, her boyfriend's mom, like, left and came back?
Yeah, yeah. Why would she care?
Yeah.
You know? Why? And they hardly know that they know each other, you know? Other than Dan, they know that they know each other enough for Lily to say Eric was missing from the hospital.
Yeah.
But other than that, they don't know that there's any kind of relationship there.
Yeah.
And they've gone through great lengths to keep it from them.
Yep. Everything's coming home to roost, though. So, yeah, Lily does seem excited, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And she makes that call. Well, I guess that's a little bit later. But she does seem to have a very positive outlook on this.
Yeah. Another flashback, Serena is still drunk. We get a conversation between Blair's parents with two big reveals. First, Blair had previously sought treatment for an eating disorder, and Eleanor clearly knew Harold was gay and tolerated discreet affairs. Nate arrives and takes Serena upstairs to sober up.
I missed that. I don't know how I missed that, but I missed that with Eleanor and...
So, like, she mentions something about Ramon, one of her models, and, like, and Harold's like, oh, Ramon. And then she's like, not this one, Harold. I have to work with him.
Oh, that's really... You know, I know exactly why I missed it. It's because I was writing down the note of what happened with, you know, because we're not revealed what she's been treated for at this point. We've just been, we know that there's something with her eating, you know, it's with food, and that she's been fine for 2 months, and the doctor says she's fine.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, there was that, you know, something was wrong with Blair, and following everything else, all the other context, it is easy to put together what that is.
Yeah.
But that's really funny that I completely missed the whole thing with Ramon. So now I need to watch that scene again.
Yeah. So so it's definitely evident that, you know, Eleanor knows Harold is gay and just kind of tolerates him having little dalliances or whatever.
Yeah. And again, like going back to all of the royalty comparisons, that it's about the image and it's about the illusions of power that you have in these couples. You know, they're supposed to be power couples, and
although we also find out that they are like best friends,
right? Well, and they're, I feel like even at that point that it's more of a, on Eleanor's part, that it would be more of a, that happens too, but we're together, so we have our own kind of love.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, it is, that is a lot to unpack in that scene, and I'm really sorry I missed that.
Yeah. But yeah, also the big thing is Blair's eating disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also very big.
Yeah, and which ends up being a huge piece throughout this whole episode.
So, you know, we're finally kind of peeling back the layers that is Blair.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting a sympathetic side of Blair.
Yeah, exactly. And especially after always being on the offensive, this is the first time, like, even when Chuck would throw her on the defense for a flash in the previous episode and she got it right back. This is true vulnerability that you see in Blair.
Yeah. Back in the present, Blair and Eleanor are doing last minute prep for dinner, and Eleanor reveals that Harold isn't coming.
Yeah. And blames Harold and says that he's probably too busy and has stuff to do.
Yeah, definitely kind of sad.
Yeah, and especially when she says, why didn't he just call? And, well, you know, he doesn't like to have those disappointing phone calls.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Pretty rough for Blair.
Yeah.
So, at the palace, we find out that Lily lied about being sick to avoid going to the Humphrey Thanksgiving. Dan arrives and insists Lily come along.
Dan and Lily's dialogue and their back and forth is fantastic here. Like, I love them. I love his insistence. I love her, you know, her reactions to it, and then, you know, immediately she goes and makes that phone call. This is where she makes the phone call, right? To
yes.
Yeah, she makes the phone call to
she leaves a voicemail for Rufus.
For Rufus, saying, you know, hey, Dan's very persistent and insisting I come. So I'm excited to see you.
Yeah. Let me remind you that our kids don't know about our history, but I am excited. That being said, I am excited to see you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's excited. So we move on. Lily gives Rufus a secret and flirty heads up that she will be coming to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
My next note. Blair is getting dressed, and Dorota tells her to ask her father why he isn't coming.
Yeah. Good on Dorota. You know, for seeing through this, whether she was the one who made the call or whether she knew firsthand, but she she knew. Was that,
if you see the earlier scene, her ears pick up when Eleanor and Blair are talking.
Yeah, they do.
So she's around listening to every conversation that's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Which also just makes her a fantastic character on its own. You know that you know those like varies. You know that like you know always has the know of what's going on behind the scenes.
Yes, Dorota becomes more of a character and gets her own storylines later on.
Oh, nice.
So she's definitely a fan favorite. And then so the Archibalds are eating a very somber Thanksgiving, very Mayflower of them. The family argues and Nate storms off.
Yeah, and I love how Nate calls Anne out on this, because now that everything's coming down on Anne, now that she's getting kicked off of the board of that and removed from the museum of this,
yep,
now it's coming back on her. And it's like, oh, well, I guess, yeah, he really did do these things, because now I'm mad about it. and of course, the captain is still just in his own world about it, too. And just like complete denial of everything he already knows he's done.
Yeah. The Vanderwoodsons arrive at the loft, and Lily and Allison smile through clenched teeth as they pretend not to know each other.
So awkward. It is so awkward, and it's so great, and I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
For the first time, person bitch. That I hate. But at the same time, kudos to Allison and Rufus for, although being shocked, and especially Allison for keeping it cool at that point and not just being like, what the fuck is she doing here?
Did Dan tell his mom in like the week or so that he's back, that he's dating Serena Vanderwoodson? Did he mention her last name?
I don't think so. No, because he didn't really even talk to his mom. He was more talking to his mom about Jenny than he was his own stuff. Like, he didn't even talk about his own stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if Allison knows he has a girlfriend at this point. Because the beginning of this episode, Dan's still upset with her. He's still not cool with his mom.
Yeah, true.
So there's a good chance that she doesn't know he has a girlfriend at all.
Yeah. So the episode is set up, and once we move into Act 2, at the loft a year ago, Dan tells his mom and Jenny about saving his crush, Serena.
Yeah. The mom saying, oh, you're like your father's son. Creepy. Like, it's so creepy to be like, oh, you like blondes? You are your father's son. That's weird. Because you're his mom. Yeah. And the blonde that you're talking about. Oh, but he does. Yeah. But then it is revealed that it's not her that she was necessarily talking about.
Yeah.
That it was another blonde.
He likes dangerous blondes.
Yeah. That he likes dangerous blondes. The cut to the next scene, where you have like the lively, like them talking, and then dead silent cut into the next scene, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, while the kids are doing play settings, the adults sneak a quick conversation to get on the same page on how they are going to lie to their kids.
Yeah. That previous scene ends with, I didn't know there was anyone else. Boom. A cut to the three of them standing there awkwardly. It is so great. And then Lily's like, I'll just put the coats in Dan's room. And I'm like, how do you know that's Dan's room? How do you know that's Dan's room? Have you been here before?
So back at the Waldorfs, Blair and Eleanor argue about Harold, and Blair takes the entire pie before storming off.
Seeing Blair and Eleanor in that power struggle, and then for Eleanor to push She took Blair's trigger and set it in front of her and said, go.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck kind of person are you if you are going to intentionally set your kid on a self-harming binge?
Yeah.
Like, you knew the dangers. You were the one that you admonished your husband a year ago for letting her eat a fucking bonbon or whatever it was. And now you're going to tell her to pick up a pie and take it with her?
Well, I don't think she said take a whole pie. She said, choose one of these desserts and have it with us.
Well, but I felt like it was take it with you. Because she said pick the dessert. Even still, using food against your kid who has an eating disorder is fucked.
Yeah.
Like, at any point, you know? That really got me with Eleanor there.
Yeah. So Blair storms off, and Blair is alone in the kitchen and gorges on the pie, and we flash back to the pilot when Blair and Nate decided to stay together, and we see afterwards now that she kind of purged.
Yeah.
Immediately after that lunch.
Yeah, they had that meal together, and she went and purged then. Yeah, that we didn't see that in the pilot. We didn't see that until now.
Yeah.
And which, you know, there's the idea that we had until this scene. We had the idea that she's been fine for a year. You know, that since last Thanksgiving, a couple months before Thanksgiving, it was 2 months before last Thanksgiving. So September of the year prior, she was doing much better.
Yeah.
But now we do see that she relapsed a couple months ago. About 2 years, or about a year to the date from when
And I don't know. I mean, it doesn't say either way, but it could have been going on longer.
Right. Yeah. We don't know that it's that was the first time with Nate. But the reason that I made that assumption is that was where they flashed to. That was the beginning of this whole story was there. Mm-hmm. So a big piece of Blair's story is now this. Yeah. And so I'm assuming that that this story took off at the same time.
Yeah, you're probably right.
At the end of this scene, she looks into the refrigerator reflection and sees just a horrible, almost disfigured looking reflection. This absolutely beautiful woman sees this reflection, and it's so telling. It was such a powerful moment because of the way that we all look at ourselves in the mirror, and we all have those moments where we look at our reflection and don't like what we see, and we're horrified by what we see. And for her to look into such a distorted image and feel that shame, it was such a powerful cinematic moment.
Yeah, definitely. Back at the loft, Sarita gets a call and has to leave to go help Blair. Then, because of a story Lily tells, we find out that Rufus might have some explaining to do when it comes to the true inspiration for some of his song lyrics. The kids learn that Lily and Rufus used to fuck.
Yeah. Early in this scene, I was kind of like, hey, Allison, you could chill a little. Like, taking little digs like, oh, I didn't know they had small ranches. They don't. You know, like, just the little digs at Lily. It was like, okay, you could chill. Also, that moment where Serena answers the phone, gets up, I have to go, this has nothing to do with you, this has nothing to do with us, this is something I have to do right now, whispers to Lily, and I feel like a lot of people recognized what was happening there. And it took me to this story that Robin often tells of she got a phone call that one of her good friends had relapsed, And, you know, such a parallel.
Yeah.
She was in the grocery store shopping, had her basket, got the call that her friend relapsed. She set down the basket and turned and walked out of the store and went to the hospital. Like, you know, you it's those friends that it's like, I don't fucking care where we are in our friendship right now. Yeah. I'm there.
Yeah, it's finally we're getting a look at their friendship, like, you know, how good of friends they really are.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't really seen that yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've all had friends that we fight with. That, how many times have I stormed out of a D&D game because I was mad about something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we all get mad at friends and we all storm off and we all have these things. Yeah. And there are those friends that you really can, that you don't need the I'm sorry's or any of that stuff. It's I need you. Boom.
Definitely.
And we also didn't really talk about the sandalwood that, you know,
Allison, you were right. You were an idiot.
Yeah.
How do you get rosewood out of sandalwood?
but also Rufus, man, poor form. Like, you don't, yeah, I wrote it for you. Really? Really? and granted, in Rufus's, I shouldn't really say defense, but like the odds of her ever learning the truth were probably a pretty long shot. It would have to be something ridiculous, like her son dating the daughter of the person the song is written
and brings
for.
Her home for Thanksgiving dinner.
And brings her home for Thanksgiving. But when would that happen?
Yeah.
And the other thing with that scene, Allison gets up and runs off, says, "Don't follow me." Dan goes after her. Dan is like, "Okay, Dad, you fucked up," and runs after Allison, which is also huge because he has been struggling with his relationship with Allison, and for the first time now seeing, oh, my dad can fuck up too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we, the pots are boiling as we move into act three. A year ago, Nate is undressing Serena for a shower. Water fights ensue. This is just like, I mean, I know you want to hang out with your dad, but really sending your boyfriend to go give your best friend a shower, that seems weird.
and he's like pawing her and she's flirting with him and it's like they're all over each other, but like,
at one point her leg is up on his shoulder,
and like, what, when, and like, granted, Serena is, you know, blitzed right now, but like, again, who says, go help my super hot friend take a shower because she's too drunk and vulnerable to get there on her own right now.
And then you see, you know, if like Blair comes in, you think they're going to, you know, fight immediately. But like,
then they have the water fight.
Yeah.
Now, and then Robin's comment on this was, no one in that room is going to have to clean up the mess they're making.
poor Dorota.
Yeah, these fucking kids are making a huge goddamn mess in the bathroom, and not one of them is gonna lift a fucking finger to clean it up.
Yes. Back in the present, Nate contemplates calling Blair, then Serena, and then decides to call no one. He's all alone.
Yeah,
on
he's
the sidewalk.
He has that joint in his hand at the very beginning of it. And he has that, like, which again, kind of good on Nate to just have that self-awareness of like, man, I just really want to get fucking tossed right now. But you know what? I'm going to call someone and see who I can talk to.
He has no one to call, though.
Yeah.
Which good move not to call either of them.
Yeah.
It's a shame Chuck wasn't in this episode.
Yeah. He would have been really good to call Chuck.
And then Serena arrives in Blair's room to comfort her. They have an honest discussion about Blair's bulimia, and I think we're finally getting a glimpse at the depth of their true friendship.
The way that she says, "I didn't mean for it to happen," like she's apologizing, and like she, you know, and it's like, you don't mean for those things to happen.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not someone who has ever struggled with addiction or with an eating disorder or with those types of issues, but I've been around it enough and I've known of it enough that you never mean for it to happen. And those triggering moments that just get you happen. And she's so vulnerable. You know, it's, you never see her like this.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. Dan and Allison are walking in Brooklyn and discuss her history with Lily. Allison mentions writing a series of one-act plays with a character named Millie to work through her issues.
I love that for Allison. I just think that is, like, it's just such one of those, like, artist ex-girlfriend things to do. Or, like, artist girlfriend things. Like, I loved it. I thought it was... And I really liked this moment with the two of them, being able to have a little bit more of a conversation.
Yeah.
Like Dan saying, like, what is it that you didn't like about her? Was it her condescending eyelashes or her?
It's not overly important, but the whole Lily Millie thing is a kind of Easter egg that comes back to play later in the series.
Oh, nice.
Next scene, we see Rufus and Lily are having a conversation about how they have been reconnecting in Allison's absence. And then Dan and Allison walk in with perfect timing right as Lily is mentioning the kiss from Eleanor's party.
Yeah.
You're going to talk about something private. You got to check around every wall.
Yeah, close the door. Yeah, close the garage door in the bedroom. And Lily is right. Like, Allison comes back. You've been kind of talking to each other more. Hey, a text. Just so you know, Allison's back. Like, this is not how Lily should have found out.
Yeah. It's definitely inconvenient. We don't know the exact timeline of how long she's been back.
I mean,
it's been like a week or so.
Yeah, I kind of assumed it was about a week or so.
So, I mean, they haven't talked, and maybe Rufus is just not a big texter.
Maybe, yeah. That, I mean, at that time, 2007, who was?
Yeah. Kids.
Yeah, it was for the kids back then.
Yeah. You probably should have give her a heads up, but it's kind of somewhat understandable.
Yeah.
And then Nate arrives back at his house and finds his father passed out on the floor.
Cinematically speaking, the way that this scene was shot, I thought was really cool. The empty house, you know, we know that they live in this huge house. So just to get that empty hallway of Nate yelling like, hey, have you seen Dad? Oh, yeah, he's some, you know, like just the conversation. Then when you you pick up as it's happening, like, oh shit, he's gonna find his dad in some form right now.
Yeah.
And he does. And you know, that's something that's just really another one of those fucked up parenting things. Just the thought of one of my kids being the one to find me when after I die is horrifying enough. To put people in that position,
yeah,
is just that I don't know if you really and someone in Howard's position and has a lot of selfish things happening with him right now in terms of and I'm saying that kind of from stuff we'll get to in a little bit from his flashback. Or did we already cover the flashback with him and Anne?
No, I think that's coming up.
Okay. So, you know, he has something to prove to himself and he's failing in it and he's consumed. When I'm saying selfish, I'm not trying to make a dig at the captain, despite all of the bad things he's done. He is very consumed with all of the things that he has done. and not thinking about people other than himself because he is wrapped up in his own shit right now. But like, your kid found you.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Yeah. I have very little sympathy for Howard.
No, I have very little sympathy for Howard. I have a ton of sympathy for Nate.
Yeah.
And it really makes me angry that Howard was so wrapped up in himself that he didn't even consider his kid finding him.
So we move on to the epilogue. Last year, Nate, Serena, and Blair are still having fun. Anne swirls the captain's balls in her wine glass.
Yeah.
This is where, he's like, oh, I have to go do this deal. And, if I'm not there, I won't get credit.
Yeah, and the commission on this is huge.
Yeah, and she's like, I'll pay your commission. Yeah. Sit the fuck down.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll pay the commission. And it's funny because Robin was like, that's so emasculating. And, like, I get it. And at the same time, it's like, you really don't have anything to prove. Like, you really don't need to do this. Like, you're only... So that means that all of the shit that he gets himself into...
She said at the end of the episode, all you have to do is put a suit on and go to the office.
And he couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was really...
My dad got us this house, got us our other house, and got you your job. All you have to do is show up and...
Yeah.
You know,
and you fucked that up.
Yeah.
And like, you get the idea that the embezzlement that he's under investigation for was starting or had just started, or we kind of get the idea that that was the beginning of that.
Yeah.
At least I got that impression.
Yeah. Probably like right after that, he probably was like, oh fuck, I got to do something to prove that I'm worthy.
Right. Well, or what my thought was is that this deal that he was really chomping at to get is the deal that put him in the hole, is the thing that falls through. I don't know. I don't know what we see later. I just got the impression that he was running out the door because he's about to start his shady schemes that he gets busted for a year later.
I didn't really get that impression. I think he was just trying. It was just a big deal.
That makes sense too.
Yeah, like he was doing other stuff that's shadier to get busted.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and all back to the original point though of how Anne is just like, I'll write you the check. Like, this is Thanksgiving. Like, sit with your family. And how, once again, like all of anything that Howard is doing, the captain, Howard and Harold. Like, come on. Why'd you do that? But just the back to that point of like, he didn't need to do anything.
Yeah.
I also wanted to make the point of how everybody loves Harold. Like, he gets along so well with Serena when he's like, I love that shirt on you. And it's like, it's yours. Like, that's why I love it. Like, he was just such a fun host such a charming guy and such a nice guy and such a great relationship with Serena and Nate and, mm-hmm. and all of them,
Yeah, very, very congenial.
Yeah.
And back in the present, Anne is still swirling. Nate is now standing up for his daddy.
Anne is in this weird limbo where she's either in complete denial or 100% in, like, on top of it. Like, she knows everything that's going on. So it's like, oh, your dad, he just kind of, must have forgotten he took that medicine. Mom, I know what he did. Well, he's an asshole.
It's not my fault.
Like she starts to defend him, then just pulls that ripcord as soon as she can.
As soon as it, like, looks like it's going to go towards her
Yep. Nope. And I think this is also where she says that line. All he had to do is put on a suit
and
show up.
Yeah. At the loft, Blair and Serena walk in on Rufus and Lily and Allison and still arguing.
The kids walk in and they all kind of shut up and they have those cuts to the parents' faces. I think it's I think it's Allison first, then Rufus, then the kids, then Lily. And it's just like, it just, it felt
this is weird.
Yeah, it was such a great choice in the shots. It was such a great shot choice because it really felt as awkward as it looked, you know? Like, it was choppy and awkward but felt exactly right. Just like that earlier really awkward chop into that other scene with these guys.
It's funny because I've been listening to the audiobook of the OC, Welcome to the OC, that came out a few months ago, and Josh Schwartz refers to Mark Pisnarski as the Piz. All right, and so that, yeah, so Blair and Serena go into Jenny's room to get the tea. Blair asks about the garage door and about Cedric. Dan describes Rufus and Lily's relationship as thus: she was a groupie and he was almost famous.
I loved this scene. I loved Blair seeing Cedric and like pointing him out. Like, Cedric has been such a great like set piece throughout this whole thing.
You know, connection between Dan and Blair.
Which one?
Because Blair also has a.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So and she like noticed it right away.
Yeah.
Number's the name of
that's what I loved, is that she came in and not only recognized the Cabbage Patch Kid, but remembered the name too. There's a garage door in this room. She's just like Blair among the poors. It's just captivated. It's like at a museum. Yeah. The dialogue in this scene is also like the dialogue and the pacing. Ignore my roots. Like all of these really quick Aaron Sorkin like shots across, like all of these one liners that just play off of each other. It was so witty and fun.
A lot of instances they're not related.
But we're not related. Ignore my roots.
I don't know. Those roots look a lot very Humphrey.
Yeah. Have you seen my dad's roots?
Allison gives Rufus an ultimatum not to see Lily anymore if he wants to rebuild their marriage.
Allison, I get it, but grow up. Like,
I mean, if they're gonna rebuild their marriage, Allison can't be right. At the same time, I've seen TV shows that know that ultimatums are never gonna work.
Yeah, and that's really where I
but in the real world, I support that.
Yeah, I actually, there was a period of time when my marriage was falling apart that I had a friend that had to stop coming around for a bit because we were going to try to work on things. This person is still one of my closest friends because, you know, they had no interest in, you know, harming me. But there was a period of time that was like, hey, I gotta like not talk to you for a bit because of how my ex felt, you know. And it is what it is. And you're right, like realistically, but also at the same time, realistically, if that's what you need for your marriage to work out, your marriage has bigger problems than a person. You know, if you're worried about this person being around, then your problems are bigger than the person isn't the problem. There's something in the relationship that's the problem.
Yeah.
But that's like, yeah.
I mean, they specifically say that, you know, Lily is Rufus, the great love of his life.
Yeah, and so, they do say that. Again, like, I do understand, and I do get where she's coming from, but I also, I guess there's, okay, cards on the table is that I'm rooting for Rufus and Lily anyway, because Allison has already annoyed me enough.
Yes. from a TV show standpoint, you see this is a horrible decision by Allison.
Yeah, I want that family broken up.
Yeah. So at a dinner, the kids are bonding when Lily arrives. Blair, Dan, and Jenny leave so the Vanderwoodsons can be alone as a family. Which member of Jane's addiction do we think Lily's hooking up with?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would assume Perry is the one that would get you on the road, right? Like, I mean, if it's anything, but then again, because I mean, like, she was a frontman guy, right? Wasn't Rufus the frontman, or is he just the guitar player?
No, he's the singer.
Is he the singer? Yeah, I mean, I would assume Perry.
Not Dave Navarro.
I try to forget about Dave Navarro as much as I can.
Or was it multiple?
Maybe it was Jane's addiction. maybe. What if Lily, one time they were all out and they were at a rest stop and she's like, oh, I forgot my wallet. And she goes to grab some Slim Jims and she sticks them up into her dress to sneak them out. But the security guard catches her. Jane's addiction sees it. Writes the entire song, Been Caught Stealing.
Hey, you never know. So,
canon.
Yeah, they're mentioning Eric's roots are like Rufus, but Rufus and Dave Navarro have similar hair.
They do, don't they? Wow. Speaking of this also, because there's in that scene where Blair says to Serena, only a woman that got it all out in her 20s would marry your stepdad.
fully satisfied her ass.
Fully satisfied her sexual appetite in her 20s would marry your stepdad. That's
stepdads, plural.
She said stepdads, which, again, this is like one of those we've never heard them talk about her stepdads, really. Like, we've had very little mention of her, of any paternal figures in Serena's life. Mm. And so it was, so both of those, I mean, that line was fantastic. But now we also know that Lily has been married a few times since. And I guess that also calls into question, are Blair and Eric half siblings, or do they have the same dad?
Oh, you mean Serena and Eric?
Oh yeah, Serena and Eric.
Like Blair. Yeah. Wait, what? Where did that come from?
I'm just rewriting this whole show now. No, but
I mean,
but
Harold's pretty virile for being a gay man.
He's got something to prove at that point, you know. Back then, the point I was saying is it possible that Serena and Eric are half siblings, or do we know that, or does it ever come up? So that's there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's never been discussed. As far as we know, they're full siblings.
Okay, but,
we'll see.
And it would
we'll
make sense.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
might find out something else.
Oh, Dan, the other thing from that scene was Blair's exit when she says to Serena, "The sandwich was delicious. I'm calling the doctor tomorrow."
Yeah.
That we had that closure with Serena and Blair, mm-hmm. and
yeah.
that Serena knew exactly what Blair needed.
Yeah.
She needed that sandwich. She needed the conversation. She needed all of those things.
Yeah.
And Blair acknowledged that before she left, which acknowledging something like that in and of itself is vulnerability. And it really is, again, the most vulnerable we have seen Blair this entire series.
Yeah, definitely touching moments with their friendship in this episode. We see that Serena's really been there for Blair, and they just have unspoken bond.
Yeah, yeah, a drop everything, I need you, bond. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how much they're mad at each other and how much they hate each other that day. It is a drop everything, I need you bond. And that to me is just a beautiful friendship. You know, it's that beautiful part of a loving friendship, mm-hmm. you know.
Dan and Jenny have a conversation walking back to the loft, and then they meet up with Rufus and Allison for a game of Family Pigskin.
Okay. It was cute, but it was like seems like this annual tradition of them playing football in the park.
Yeah, because Dan blames his performance last year on a shoulder rotator cuff injury.
Yeah, because Jenny refuses to play with him because he burned her on his forward pass.
He couldn't hit her on his forward pass.
Yeah.
Cute family scene.
Yeah, they were. That was nice.
And then back at the penthouse, Eleanor and Blair have an honest conversation. The writing and Margaret Collins' great acting are making me actually feel bad for Eleanor.
It's such a powerful scene, isn't it? Because, like, yes, she was shitty for everything she did, and it was so selfish of her.
But she had a good reason.
Yeah, but
because she was not ready to face this guy who's her best friend for 20 years.
Yeah. And not giving Blair the choice was wrong, right? To be like, I uninvited him because I couldn't. And yet there's a sympathy there. Mm-hmm. You know, it was shitty to do, but there's that sympathy because, you know, she knew she would have been all alone. Which then she says, which I was anyway. You know? Yeah. Like she kind of also recognizes that her efforts didn't pan out the way she had hoped anyway.
Yeah.
And also because of, you know, when she says like I couldn't not now, not the holidays. They were our happiest times.
Yeah.
You know, that really pulled at me. She really shows glimpses of humanity here, despite the selfishness, despite the lying. You really felt like she was a human.
Yeah. And very Blair-like early in the episode.
Yeah.
You can see the parallels between Blair and Eleanor, why she hit it and, you know, how she hit it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that scene actually got me choked up watching it.
Yeah.
Margaret
Collins did a great job.
Yeah, yeah. It was this episode, which we'll talk about very soon, it was flawless. Like, this was just really great, and that scene was so powerful and just so meaningful between the two of them that it was really well done.
Nate has a conversation with his dad in the hospital, and now Nate has to hold his dad's hand so he doesn't try to kill himself because he's a shitty businessman whose wife bosses him around.
I mean that sums it up, and it's true. Like, I'm glad for Nate for putting his foot down, but it's like, dude, stop talking to your kid about how you want to kill yourself because that's fucked up. Like, you know, go to fucking jail if you need to. But like, your kid is sitting here, you know. And if Nate was ever the captain's priority, then maybe that would be different. But Nate has never been either of their priority. He's only been the showpiece for them to
carry
to
on
build
the
their future on.
Yeah. And then we get another flashback to last year. Nate and Anne leave the penthouse as Lily and Eric arrive to pick Serena up, who's passed out finally.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah. That whole episode, just from that morning until they finally get her down at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And then I have a note that says too much turkey denial, and I'm not sure what I meant by that. But somebody says too much turkey. Oh, Lily. It was Lily coming in and seeing her and saying too much turkey, and it's like you can smell your kid. But like, if your kid has had as much to drink as they've showed, it won't take, you know.
I'm curious where Lily and Eric were having Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's true. They weren't. Why weren't they with Serena as well? That's all. Is that something that we find out, or which that's really interesting too.
It's a mystery.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe Lily was married at the time.
Possible.
Yeah.
In the present, we get a montage going from present to past and back again. The Vanderwoodses are having a much better Thanksgiving this year. The Waldorf is a much worse one. The Humphreys and Archibalds appear fairly neutral.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it wraps up, you know, everybody kind of doing their thing.
Well, I think we get the parallels between each family from last year to this year. I think clearly the Vanderwoodsons are better this year. They're together. Instead of you know Serena being passed out and Eric and Lily off, who knows where.
And even like with that comparison where you have Lily a year ago in denial that her kid is passed out drunk, and then Lily now who is finally taking time to talk and bond with her kids,
being honest about herself and her past.
Yeah.
And just being together.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Waldorfs, obviously, you know, even though, you know, everything was fake, at least they were together last year, but now they're, you know, all alone and kind of miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Harold might be having a great time off in France.
Living
his best life.
Yeah.
And then the Humphreys are kind of the same, I would say.
And the Archibalds are kind of, you know, I mean, well, the Archibalds, the big difference is that last year the Archibalds were invited to the Waldorfs.
Yeah.
This year they weren't. This year they were on their own, disinvited. Yeah.
Yeah. So they went from bad to worse almost, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that is the end of the episode. Any predictions for what's going to come next?
I'm expecting Chuck back soon, so I'm expecting more to develop between Chuck and Blair. I'm expecting eventually that to become more public, I would assume.
So far only Serena knows.
So. Yeah, so far only Serena, Blair, and Chuck know.
Yeah.
Which Chuck doesn't know Serena knows, so Gossip Girl, if Chuck's Gossip Girl, he can't blow the lid because there's only one person that would know. But it's been really smooth sailing for Dan and Serena. So I'm waiting for a hiccup there at some point. I just feel like TV-wise, we're getting due for a bigger hiccup between the two of them. Because they seem to have a lot of those, oh, we have a little argument, we communicate, we work it out, kind of things.
We'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get into some segments. This week in fandom, so as usual, I went back onto the Wayback Machine to look at the Television Without Pity forums from back in 2007. And this week, people are glad that Blair's bulimia is being addressed finally. More praise for Leighton's acting. We get actually some praise for Chase's acting, and people are liking Nate a little more after last week. We also have Serena. Why didn't Serena tell Blair what Chuck did in the pilot?
That happened. They weren't friends. They weren't talking to each other at the time. So by the time they were talking again, that probably wasn't.
But why didn't they come up this episode when, you know, they talked about, you know, Blair and Chuck hooking up?
Yeah, I mean, it probably should have. But I've also gotten the impression through what you have said and through what we've been watching the past 8 episodes that they're trying to run from that. That they're trying to soften Chuck.
Yeah.
That angle of Chuck a bit.
Speaking of Chuck, where is he? people are wondering where he is. If he was not in the episode. And then, of course, Allison universally hated.
Yeah. 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 She's terrible. It's funny because, I get it. I really agree with her on most of what she says. But I just can't stand her.
Yeah, we went on Roof Fly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Lilfus.
All right, let's go ahead and get into some episode grades. I went first last time, so what do you got going?
This is my first A+ episode. This is my first, Like Chuck not being in it almost, but got it a ding, but it just it didn't miss him because of everything else going on. This was my first A plus.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also really liked it, but I am gonna knock it down a little bit, A minus. I think they kind of overused the flashbacks and the weird title cards were kind of just like a little goofy, so I knocked it down a little bit.
That's fair. I had fun with that, but you know, I like that.
Yeah,
I liked the storytelling aspect of it, so I get, but I can see why it's too much and intrusive.
Moving on to Stockwatch. Who do you have going up?
I have Nate going up, first of all, because, you know, still standing up to his parents, still, you know, now he's taking on the role of taking his care of his dad, even to an extent. So I really had Nate going up. I had Serena going up, because aside from just having a good episode, her friendship with Blair, the way that she dropped everything for Blair. That's true friendship. That's true love. And then also Blair for getting help and Blair for recognizing she needed it, reaching out to Serena and getting the help she needed.
Mm-hmm.
Something interesting, you know, we had had the conversation of, we know that she purged in the pilot, despite not seeing it. We know that she did. She didn't have Serena to call.
Yeah.
She didn't have her ride or die who was going to drop everything for her. You know, she had no one and that's where it led.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else going up?
So Nate, Serena. My three going up.
Who's the third one? Blair?
Nate, Serena, Blair. Yeah.
For me, I had Nate as well. Nate is the best parent in the episode.
Yeah. Nate actually has been the best parent for a few episodes.
Also, Serena for being a great friend. And then Blair, even though she doesn't have it was a sad episode, but I think character development wise, she goes up just because, you know, she becomes a more sympathetic character.
Yeah. Yeah. And that positive trajectory of character too, of seeking and gaining help, and
I'm also gonna give Eleanor a nudge up for the same reason, because she became sympathetic there, and just the great acting. That last scene was just great.
Yeah.
Who do you got going down?
So since you ended with Eleanor, I had Eleanor going down, but that was because of the lying and the
fair.
And just the selfish nature of, I didn't want to be alone, so I lied to my kid. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I really understand where you're coming from. I had her going down. I had Lily. I originally had Lily going down, but I kind of feel like she should be going up by the end of this. But so I'm just going to leave Lily out. But I am going to the rest of the parents. Like, wow, I actually wrote down Lily twice. But all of the parents for
Rufus,
yeah,
Allison,
Captain, and Eleanor. I'm changing my vote for Lily to probably going up, because she finally starts, because she has been trying to be a mom, and everything that went wrong for her in this episode was thrown on her. Like, she didn't do anything. She just kind of got shit deals throughout this whole episode and made the best of it. So I'm going to flip Lily to a positive.
Yeah. For my downs, I also had just all the parents, including Lily. So Rufus, Allison, Lily, and Howard. Yeah, they're all just pretty bad. Even though Lily does have a good moment at the end, I don't think it was enough to redeem her. The whole lying to her kids, what caused this whole situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then just being indignant about the whole, you know, wanting to still like basically be friends and hang out, even though Allison doesn't.
Yeah.
So yeah. So all the parents go down.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Who do you have for a best outfit?
Blair's flashback dress. It was the Nanette Lepore smoke paved diamond strapless strapless sweetheart dress that she wore in the flashback with the big bow on the front. And yeah, I love that. I shout out to Serena's purple outfit, but like that was, but yeah.
For me, I actually liked Lily's outfit, the black trench coat with oversized gold buttons, and then when she took that off, it was like a white lace top with a like a deep forest green blouse underneath that, and gray pants.
Yeah, yeah, very cool.
Lily's got some style.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like Lily tends to be the best dressed parent at all times. Eleanor always seems to dress like an Eleanor. You know, and her fashion stuff is very sort of almost old fashioned look, like a modernized old fashioned look to it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of like the lace collars and stuff like that. But I feel like Lily always has just really hip fashion.
Yeah. I almost gave it to Rufus for the leather jacket, but I just couldn't with that horrible dad shirt he's wearing underneath. Like the leather jacket and the torn jeans, nice, nice rocker look. But that buttoned up shirt with like the weird swirls on it, it's such a dad shirt.
Yeah, almost famous.
Yeah,
he was almost a rock star.
All right, anything you want to plug this week?
I don't really have much going on outside of my TikTok and Steve.Marchand and my Instagram at Steve.Marchand, MarchiOn. And I don't really have much coming up right now. So,
I just recently marathoned Sex Lives of College Girls. So I'll recommend that. It was a really funny show.
Robin loves that show, actually. Yeah. I haven't seen it, but Robin actually.
Yeah, I like that. One of the characters is actually, her name is Leighton, and she's from the Upper East Side.
Oh, that's funny. I would assume it's definitely
inspired. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Robin's a big Mindy Kaling fan. Her stuff is kind of hit or miss. I feel like she does what she sets out to do all the time, and sometimes what she sets out to do annoys me. But that's not a critique on her. I think she's incredibly talented, despite me not always being it's sort of like Rush. I'm not always into Rush, but I know that they're one of like I know how good they are.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Hot Capicola. You can follow the podcast at Non-Judging Breakfast Pod and on Instagram and TikTok, on the social media formerly known as Twitter at NJB Pod. And also, you can join us on the Facebook group, Non-Judging Breakfast Pod, and take your seat at the Non-Judging Breakfast Table.
Yeah, and you can also send us an email at nonjudgingbreakfastpod@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear from you. If you have anything you would like us to you'd like to say to us, we'd love to read your emails on air. If you have questions for us or anything you want us to address, please feel free to reach out and let us know how we're doing. Also, give us a listen on Apple and Spotify and on YouTube, and give us a like and follow, and help us promote those videos.
Yeah, rating and leave a review. That definitely helps with discoverability, especially on Apple. Next episode, we are going to be talking about Season 1, Episode 10, High Society. The next episode description reads, Serena has no intention of attending the ball until it's announced that Serena must attend. Until next time, you know you love us. XOXO.
Bye, guys.